BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know, are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane, that's got two words for you.
Mem.com. I am, of course, Sir Rock, and joined as always by the lovely Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
We have 3 hours plus of Monday Night Raw to get into tonight. It was a long show. We got some very interesting moments, some lack of people, well, lack of TV time for some people that certain people want to see on their TV screens.
You know, because we only wait 9 months to see him, and then he shows up on TV for 10 seconds, and that's it, and we only get him once a week, and yeah, we'll get there.
He's the hashtag big tease.
He is a big tease. That's just not even nice.
So yeah, we're going to get onto all of that, and we're going to open up with, it's 13 days from WrestleMania, and we have CM Punk and Paul Heyman with the urn coming down to the ring. Before we even get into this, CM Punk was back on Twitter today, Lindsay.
He was back on Twitter.
And he tweeted out a picture of Arn Anderson.
Which was funny.
It was funny as hell. It's called, welcome back to Twitter.
It would be funnier if The Undertaker had a Twitter and he could tweet it at him. That would be amazing.
So yes, they tossed the urn around before they gave CM Punk the microphone.
Let me explain. The Undertaker last year at WrestleMania went 20-0. Think about it. 2-0. 20 times he came to the ring at WrestleMania and 20 times he dispatched whoever he was up against. Hell of a legacy. I couldn't have written it better myself. And it should have ended there. It should have ended with The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H holding hands and skipping off into the sunset, because that is a perfect ending. But The Undertaker went...
Before he continues, picture Undertaker skipping.
That's a fantastic line. Go on.
Anyway, continue.
And he ruined it all, because he walked out here on my show, and he pointed at my sign... And now, because of his actions, his storybook career, WrestleMania, is being rewritten by a man who is not afraid of the dark. It's being rewritten by a man who is not fazed by his undefeated streak. It is being rewritten by a man who happens to be the best in the world. This urn... I did not take. to disrespect Paul Bearer. I took it because of what it means to The Undertaker. This means everything to The Undertaker, and it doesn't mean a damn thing to me. Just like The Undertaker's streak. You see, The Undertaker is a man who does not possess anything that I want. His streak is his. He earned it. The only thing I'm going to do with it is break it. But I have something that now belongs to me that The Undertaker very much does want. And for the first time in his life, he's at a psychological disadvantage and he is scared. He should have stayed gone. Him coming back against any other man would have been great. He would have been 21-0 without a doubt. He could have gone 30-0. Hell, he could have gone 50-0. But I am not just any other man. I am not just any other superstar. I am CM Punk, and there is nobody in the world that is better than me. There is nobody in the world that is smarter than me. And there is nobody in the world who will beat me at WrestleMania. I am the one in 20-1. So here I am, Philadelphia. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the lights to go out. I'm waiting for that chill to enter the arena. And I'm waiting for those magic words, rest in peace. Because rest is something that I have never been afforded. And peace is something that I have never lived with. And Undertaker, at WrestleMania, you and your perfect record will rest in peace.
Well, ask and you shall receive.
Before we continue with that, that promo was fantastic.
He was spot on. Punk is doing everything right with his promos, with this. And it was nice to see him spin this away from Paul Bearer and spin it back towards the urn, which is the focus of the storyline.
Right. Now, what happened after that gong was everyone's expecting Taker to, you know, take his time, get to the ring. But no, Taker's automatically in the ring and beats the crap out of Punk for about 30 seconds.
Which was amazing. Which is what I've been waiting for 2 weeks!
And she finally got Taker in badass mode. He beat up Punk, the urn trickled out of the ring right to Paul Heyman, who ran after it. He ran like he stole it. And he ran to the back. Punk escapes. But we finally saw The Undertaker pissed off, which is what I know me and you have been wanting for a while.
Yeah, I've been waiting for Taker to do something other than just stand there and growl and roll his eyes in the back of his head. I really have been wanting to see him reciprocate in some kind of form, just because we all know what happens when The Undertaker gets mad. He stalks people, and he's not stalking Punk, and he should, and now he finally is. So it's like, it took you long enough, dude.
He seemed to be, we talked about this Thursday on the rack, he seemed to be in a much better place tonight.
He did. I think he's finally moving on a little bit. And it could be because I don't think he was supposed to be focused on being upset, maybe. I think it's more now, it's like, okay, dude, now you can be pissed off.
Now you can be pissed, yeah. This was good. A really nice, it was a fantastic opening segment.
I liked how you had Punk purposely drop the urn in the middle of the ring. Like, it means nothing to me, drops the urn. That was really nicely done.
Yes, it was. Yes, indeed it was. We got promoed at this point for the Q&A to be hosted by WWE Legends later on in the show. One legend, we will tell you up front, who was supposed to be there and was not, was Ric Flair. He was at the building tonight. And, well, they sent him home because he has a blood clot in his leg.
Yeah, Ric Flair, please get better, and, you know, to the doctors, please deflate his leg, because, yeah, it's... His one leg is so swollen, and I'm with LeMann on Take Her Better Talk next week. Yes, I would actually like to hear him talk more than I'm going to hurt you bad.
Yes, even though they've used those lines perfectly in the promo for the match.
Dude, they just need to book the match, and then they need to just have the guys do stuff, and let WWE post-production do their promos, because their promos can sell matches. Like, they make everything, like, five times more awesome than they actually were, because they cut all the crap out in between.
And if you want to see the picture of Ric Flair's inflated leg, I guess is the best way to put it, go to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It is up there. Up next, we have the long-anticipated debut of Fandango. He does his entrance, ready to go, and then more pyro. It's Chris Jericho. He storms to the ring and just smacks around Fandango for a while.
Chris Jericho was fired up.
And the crowd was into Chris Jericho tonight.
They were.
They popped huge for Jericho. So, you know, Fandango retreats with his dancer. So we do not get the debut of Fandango tonight. But Michael Cole was jabbering on the microphone on the commentary, saying, you know, Jericho's supposed to fight Dolph Ziggler later. Well, later turned to now, our first contest, Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho. Really good match.
This is a great match.
The winning streak for Dolph Ziggler was broken via submission when he tapped out to the walls of Jericho. I was going to say lion tamer for a second. Sort of was a half lion tamer tonight.
It kind of was, yeah. And then he really took Ziggler down into the hold.
Yes, he did. So, yes, Jericho wins via submission. This did not sit well with Big E. He attacked and laid out Mr. Jericho. And then out came Fandango, and he danced around the body of Chris Jericho, screaming, "Say my name! What's my name?" And then the Philly fans started chanting, "You can't wrestle!" Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And he then decided to hit a leg drop off the top rope.
When he started saying, "Say my name, what's the name? My name," did anybody else have a flashback to the moment in American Pie when Allison Hannigan did that?
I'm raising my hand.
Just checking.
Just you know, throwing it out there. Yes, I did. Say my name, bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's your movie reference. Then you could hear Chris Jericho saying, "Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything." But he ended up saying, "It's Fandango." Nice job of building heat for the match.
It was. They don't really have a lot of time to build this up. It's going to be a nice, solid mid-card match. So they're doing a nice job of building it up and giving it the intensity. And it's not, at least right now, being as stupid as we thought it was going to be. Because originally, wasn't it supposed to be like a dance-off?
People were talking about how it was going to be referencing Dancing with the Stars. And thankfully, they have not yet.
Yeah, hopefully they don't. Hopefully they keep Dancing with the Stars out of it.
Yes, hopefully they do that. We have backstage Matt Stryker talking to Sheamus. He's asking if he's been able to sort things out with Big Show. And, well, the Shield wasted no time, and they jumped Sheamus. Randy Orton.
This is your first Dean of the night.
Sheamus got jumped. Randy Orton tried to make the save. He got jumped. Shield laid them both out. Big Show enters. The Shield scatters. And it's looking more and more like Orton and Sheamus can start to trust the Big Show.
But can they? That's the question.
That's the million-dollar question. Can they actually trust them?
No. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We shall see. Up next, it is a handicap match. Mark Henry versus this team that apparently has pyro, according to someone on my Facebook, the Usos. Mark Henry ate the Usos. It's the best way to put it. He beat the Usos, then punished them more after the match with World's Strongest Slams, then a big splash. And, you know, he's screaming, you know, this is what I do all day, etc., etc.
The best thing that came out of this was Joey Styles' tweet, well, that must have been a sobering experience for the Usos. That was fantastic!
Nicely done. Nicely done. So, we get through that. We then have our champion versus champion showdown to start our number two, Alberto Del Rio, with Ricardo Rodriguez in a cast, in his, you know, walking boot. Roberts was going to do the introduction, but no. Ricardo was there. He did his introduction. His voice is still okay. As Del Rio took on Antonio Cesaro.
I will say, go Ricardo for selling it, and then my feed died, so you're going to have to go over this match.
There was not much to the match. Swagger and Zeb came out. They went after Ricardo. They banged up Ricardo's ankle some more. Del Rio made the save, and at that point he got counted out, giving Cesaro the victory. Del Rio then took his anger out on one Antonio Cesaro before, you know, leaving. Building more heat, solid stuff for the match at WrestleMania. Solid build.
Alberto Del Rio must have, like, the best health plan in the world.
Well, he's rich. He must, so, you know.
He must. I mean, you know, screw the government funding Obamacare. Just have Alberto Del Rio fund health care.
He can afford it.
He can afford it.
He's a millionaire, unlike the guys who scream millions of dollars, millions of dollars. It's the Primetime Players versus our favorite tag team in WWE, Team Hell No, Kane and Daniel Bryan. And the biggest thing coming out of this, they were actually working together and doing double team moves.
I'm so proud. Our boys are growing up so fast.
They're growing up and right in front of our eyes. It's amazing. Kane and Daniel Bryan pick up the victory over the Primetime Players. You had Dolph Ziggler and Big E staring them down, along with AJ, on the ramp. Continued the build, as it were, for this one.
And what's interesting is you had Kane continuing to look back at AJ, and you had Bryan, while Kane was out of the match, and you had Bryan not really paying your mind. So very interesting.
We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But up next, we get a nice video package talking about the no-holds-barred Career on the Line showdown between Brock Lesnar and Triple H. And this brought out the game to talk about his thoughts going into this match against Brock Lesnar.
So for the first time ever, I find myself going to the ring at WrestleMania in a situation where if I lose, I'm never allowed to compete in this ring again. My career is over. Here's the thing. If you go to the ring against Brock Lesnar thinking your career might not be over, then you've already lost, because Brock Lesnar is a destroyer. He is a machine that can end your career in this ring at any moment, and that is a fact. But I have had a 20-year career where I have gone into this ring every night like my career depended on it. I have fought in this ring every night like my life has depended on it. So, if Paul Heyman thinks he's made this grand coup by making this personal, by putting my back against the wall, by painting me into a corner, then he's mistaken. Brock Lesnar, I have advice for you. Show up at WrestleMania like your career is on the line. come to WrestleMania to fight like your life depends on it. Because Brock, it very well might. I am not coming to WrestleMania, Brock, to wrestle. I am not coming to fight. I am coming to kick your ass.
Short to the point. As Michael Cole said, that was short to the point and effective.
I hurt Triple H. I really do. Like, I'm making the little heart and everything. He's just, this was perfect.
Not much needed to be said. He says he's going there to kick his ass, and that's what he did.
So, I guess we have to wait and see.
We'll see what happens, but speaking of things you shouldn't do at Monday Night Raw, you should not interrupt Triple H as he's walking to the back, Wade Barrett.
Oh, Wade Barrett, you stupid, stupid, stupid man.
Wade Barrett walks out to Triple H, gives him his look. No, just go on, go on. And it's up and it's good. Right to the grind.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It's like, oh, you special little snowflake, you. I love you, Wade, but oh, that was so not smart.
He was going to be screaming a higher pitch after that night. Wade Barrett then, you know, with his, you know, balls up his throat, took on The Miz. Solid match.
I like that Barrett sold the groin injury the whole way through. That was nice.
Yes. Apparently he touted, there's a tout with, of him selling the injury, getting, you know, ice put on his region.
Oh, I need to go find this then.
Yeah, it's on the WWE tout, apparently.
But, yeah, and it was a good solid match. They're building towards, I guess, Miz Barrett at Mania, which is fine.
But, yeah, it's fine. It's what they need to do. We're getting, you know, this gives him the victory over Barrett. And we will get the rematch for the title at WrestleMania. So, good stuff. The Miz won via submission. They played up the ball attack throughout the match. Mainly Michael Cole did. We then go backstage to, well, this.
WrestleMania, I need you to be focused. I need you to have your mental faculties. I need you to drop the I needs. I know what I'm doing. Sure you do. Against the prime time players. But Dolph Ziggler and Big E, they're different. And besides, they have She Who Should Not Be Named at ringside with them. What is that supposed to mean? I'm talking about you go nuts every time AJ's around. Me? You're the one who's never gotten over her.
No, you're the one who's never gotten
You've
over
never gotten
You've never gotten
she
over her.
You've never gotten over
her.
She left you at the altar.
Oh, yeah?
Do you guys ever listen to yourselves? Look, AJ screwed all of us over. My advice? Move on.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. She hasn't targeted your title at WrestleMania.
Oh, no, I'm just the best friend that tried to get her to dump her emotionally abusive troll of an ex-boyfriend. Who's that guy again?
I think that was you. She's talking about you.
Oh, Daniel, it was you.
No, I was the best boyfriend she ever had.
Listen, AJ obviously still strikes a nerve with both of you. Now, if you guys want to keep your titles at Mania, you're going to have to accept that this is the new AJ. The wheel's spinning, but the hamster's dead. You know what I mean? Look, she's a beady-eyed, mad as a hatter, four quarters short of a dollar, certifiably crazy bad!
Who Should Not Be Named.
That was fantastic. And it's like, like, I love it. It's like, oh, look, there's the Divas Champion on TV. Oh, my gosh. And once again, she doesn't have her title. Wow. Okay.
You just don't walk around with your title backstage in a locker room.
Hell no, Adam.
Well, they just came out of the match.
Uh-huh. Sure. By the way, I like that it takes two guys, including Kane, to pull AJ off of Caitlyn.
Alright, let me ask you a question. How many guys would it take to pull you off of Kane?
They wouldn't be able.
Okay, then. Just a point.
Kane have to get the jaws of life.
Great lines by all involved. Caitlyn was really good in this as well.
Yeah, Caitlyn was really good. And again, it's like, oh look, there's random Divas Champion. Awesome, she's back on TV. Sweet!
So yes, more build towards WrestleMania. Up next, we have a 6-man tag team action. I want to read these names correctly. We have The Great Khali, Justin Gabriel, Zack Ryder on your TV screen at the top of the third hour.
Oh, it must be The Shield.
Yes, they took on The Shield, featuring Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns.
Dean!
The Shield beat all three men, and then after the match, they hit a triple power bomb on The Great Khali. Holy impressive.
It was really impressive because it kind of looked like Khali was sandbagging them a little bit.
I don't think he's ever taken a bump like that before. I don't think he knows how to jump. We've seen him in matches with like the Big Show and Kane, and he doesn't really jump for the chokeslam.
I don't think he knows how to jump.
So him going up in the air probably was really like a big deal for him.
Yeah, because if you notice, he didn't even like bend his legs. He just like they were stuck straight out behind Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns is like standing there going, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god."
The man's in chair room. Can he do? I use my knees. How do I do this?
Seth and Dean are like behind Khali trying to desperately push him up, and it's like, yeah.
We think we can.
If we think it, we can do it.
After this, Sheamus came out of the stage, followed by Randy Orton. They're ready to go. They walk to the ring. Big Show comes from the crowd, and all six men start the brawl before The Shield decide to think better of it and head for the hills. Again, more solid build towards the match, and we're seeing that that Sheamus and Randy Orton can trust a Big Show.
So far.
He's making them believe that they can. This is the best way to put it. Trying to make them believe.
I'll save my judgment for WrestleMania.
Backstage, Chris Jericho was leaving Vicky Guerrero's office. Interrupt gets a word with Josh Matthews. Jericho said, "When you have been in WWE as long as he has, you become a target." He said, "Fandango has kicked his ass twice in a row, once on SmackDown, once now on Raw, but he has proven nothing. But Fandango will get his chance because it will be Chris Jericho versus Fandango at WrestleMania." Jericho told Fandango to be careful what you wish for because you will never, ever be the same again.
Again.
Gotta get my Canadian in. Again. Eh?
Eh.
Eh.
He had a shiner.
He did.
And I have to agree with Mace. He said it in our production chat of, he looks like he hasn't slept in about a week either.
No, he's a busy, busy man.
He is a busy man. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't understand the form of sleep. I still want those leather pants, Chris. Just saying. I can has?
Maybe.
Please?
Maybe. Sort of. Again, more build. We got the match. It's official for WrestleMania. Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes were coming to the ring. Sandow said, "They're here in Philadelphia, a city known for greasy sandwiches and a stadium with a prison inside of it." You know what? We have a prison inside of it.
Which stadium has the prison?
The Eagle Stadium. Them Eagles fans, they get rowdy.
Them Eagle fans, you mean your fellow brethren?
Yes.
By the way, don't judge... Well, I'll save that comment for when we get to the end. It has a courtroom, too. Does it really?
It does. Yes, it does.
Holy crap.
Yep. That's what we do here in Philadelphia. We have a jail and a courtroom in our stadiums.
Wow. That's impressive. You hooligans, you.
Yeah. Anyway, Road Scholars, Bartis Clay, and Sweet Tea up next. What do you think?
I am conflicted because on one hand, I'm so happy to see Road Scholars back together again. But on the other, it was because the Bellas came back. So it's like, I really am happy to see Sandow and Rhodes together, but it's at the cost of the Bellas' return. So it's like, I don't know how to take this.
Just say the Road Scholars are back together.
The Road Scholars are back together.
And they beat Brutus Clay and Sweet Tea, the Tensai.
They did, and the girls got into it a little bit, so it looks like we're going to see this either on the pre-show or at Mania.
We're going to see something. That's for sure. Up next, it's a handicap match, 3-on-1 handicap match. The 3-man band, baby, takes on the Ryback.
Ryback won. Move on.
We have a weightlifting competition set for Friday Night SmackDown between Mark Henry and the Ryback to find out which one's the strongest.
I don't want a weightlifting contest. Somebody go out there and pull a semi. That's what I want to see, like that on the World's Strongest Guy competitions or whatever the hell they are on ESPN at like 2 o'clock in the morning where they have to pull a truck with their teeth. Do that.
For the first time in what seems like forever, we have a Divas match on Monday Night Raw. It is WWE Divas Champion Caitlyn taking on the Crazy Bird, AJ Lee.
AJ, you can keep wearing those shorts. Totally okay with it.
Everyone's totally okay with it.
This was a semi-good match. I would have liked to have seen them get into it more.
And we probably will.
We probably will, though they probably will end up having a match at Mania or on the pre-show. But it was like, I was so excited because it's like, oh my god, yay, there's actual women's wrestling on WWE TV. The Divas Champion is on Raw, and AJ is facing her. Yes, 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 thank you god. Because it's like, these two have the perfect natural storyline with each other. Because they're former best friends, now enemies. And, like, AJ has screwed Caitlyn over. And it's like, you could do a whole big thing. You know, you could do a storyline with them. Didn't we talk to somebody about the Divas Division having storylines today?
I think we did. I believe her name was, what's her name? Trish Stratus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Trish Stratus, yeah. Tune in Thursday to hear what she had to say about the Divas Division. And Caitlyn, because she did actually talk about Caitlyn.
She did. She put over Caitlyn. So, you want to hear her comments? Tune in, RAC, 11 p.m. Eastern. Trish Stratus, right here, wildtalkradio.com. AJ won via countdown after Caitlyn missed a spear.
Which was an interesting finish. But it was like, eh?
Right.
It's like, girl, pick your butt up and get in the ring.
I will give Caitlyn tons of credit. She sold that like a champ.
Oh, she did. She absolutely did. It's like, well done, well played, but get your butt up and get in the ring.
So, yes, the feud will have, return, I guess the best way to put it, and it's starting to build as we might get some action as we head into WrestleMania. But up next, it's main event time. It's time for the Q&A panel. Featuring WWE legends The Rock and John Cena. Your legends for this panel. Hall of Famers to be Booker T and Mick Foley. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. and the legend himself, but the excellence of execution, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Eh, he was a 4 out of 10.
He limped down to the ring because he just came off a knee surgery.
Which, bravo for him.
Yes,
bravo for him. Because we all know limping ain't easy.
So yes, we have both men in the ring. Mick Foley asked the first question. He talked about himself first, of course, put himself over. He talked about the WrestleMania 20 when he teamed with The Rock. Foley noted that he lost the match, which he regretted because it was at that point everyone thought that was The Rock's last WrestleMania match. Foley said he's a John Cena fan, but he felt a sense of relief when The Rock beat John Cena at last year's WrestleMania. Foley asked Cena if he's ready to live with the type of regret that could accompany another loss at WrestleMania. Cena said whether he wins or loses, it will change the face of WWE. He said the story is easy if he wins because he gets redemption, he gets the title, and he gets respect. Cena says he knows losing is a very real option, though, after last year. Cena then brought up former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan F. McNabb, which drew a lot of booze tonight.
Are you really surprised your people booed Santa Claus?
I know, I'm not surprised. It's just funny.
I was waiting for them to break out the snowballs.
Hey, that happened once.
Doesn't mean it can't happen again. They could all hit up the icy vendor before the freaking segment.
Cena said McNabb is statistically the greatest quarterback to ever wear an Eagles uniform. Probably. But listen how he's remembered. Why? Because McNabb could not win the big one. Cena said Philly cares about teams and they deserve someone who can win the big one. Yes, we can. Yes, we do. Much like the WWE fans, they want to look at the man who could win the big one. Cena says if he loses on April 7th, he will carry the legacy of Donovan McNabb. Wow, John, wow. Cena turned to The Rock and said he can handle failure, but this man knows nothing about failure. Well, not yet, which was a nice line by John Cena. Rock said Rock wasn't impressed and approached his podium, but paused, for the crowd to chant. Rock questioned Cena, claiming he doesn't know about failure. He said, at 23 years old, he was so broke that he had to get a mattress out of a dumpster. Then he got his big break from WWE, flopped, and then tore up his knee. Rock said WWE told him to go home, but he couldn't quit. He didn't. He could have quit, but he didn't. Rock said he worked his ass off to get back to WWE and came back just asking for a mic. Rock said he finally headlined WrestleMania 2 years later in this very city. The Rock said that reminds him of something, and he did the finally routine, which popped the crowd. Rock then noted that he went out that night at WrestleMania 15 and got his ass kicked by Stone Cold Steve Austin, which made him experience loss and failure. Rock said that he vowed to overcome that loss, which he did. Alright, thoughts on this first part? Because there's a lot of parts.
I would have traded all the Legends intro for a backstage segment with Taker. Just saying.
Okay, we've skipped over the Legends part. This part.
I had to get that in there.
Set a wedge at it.
It was good. John Cena had really nice intensity. The Rock was just so-so.
See, I thought differently. I thought The Rock actually popped the crowd while John Cena was just, trying to do that voice that gets him intensity and just wasn't there.
I mean, I'm trying to remember the whole thing instead of doing it bits and parts, but I mean, it was I'm not fond of these types of segments where they do. I get that they're different, but I'm not fond of debate style or panel style because you're sitting there and it's like, what the hell is this? The Voice or American Idol or something?
Okay. Bret asked the question, wants to know what's changed between the two. Rock responded, first the two guys went out last year. There was no cheap shots, no screw jobs. Rock said he beat Cena 1-2-3, and Cena did not bitch, moan, or complain after the loss. Rock said he respects that. Cena responded by saying he wanted Rock to prove that he loves WWE and did. Cena said it was built once in a lifetime last year because he thought The Rock would have won the, had the match, then walked away for good. But Rock came back out the next night, vowed to become WWE champion, which he is right now. Cena said Rock has proven his loyalty to his business and he respects the heck out of The Rock. But now Cena says in 13 days they're going to see how The Rock handles his loss. Booker T asked a question. Basically, if he's going to, why he thinks he's going to beat The Rock, and his response was, John Cena's was, because I have to. That's it, because I have to. Cena had a little sad face, looked away. The Rock then asked Cena, what kind of shallow, weak answer is that? Rock told Cena, wipe a monkey's ass with, I have to. Rock told Cena to tell the truth, and then we finally got down to the answer. John Cena said, because you didn't beat me. Cena beat himself.
Which I didn't think you could do in public, but okay.
People do it all the time. We talk about it every Saturday night on CB Radio. Cena said he beat one bad decision. Midnight. Saturdays. Tune in. Cena said he made one bad decision. He said he got caught up in one personal moment. Cena said he comes out here every week, and some people like him, others don't. This drew boos. Cena says for every week for 10 damn years, he's just gone along with the ride. But The Rock is the one person who clouded his judgment. Cena said he watched the match 100 times. He knows that he beat The Rock, but one time he made a mistake by trying to beat The Rock with his own move in his hometown.
No. His own stupid move in his own hometown.
Yes, his own stupid move in his hometown. That is never happening again, Cena said. I know that I'm better than The Rock. Rock smiled, sort of waiting to hear some honesty actually from Cena, and much more. The Rock knows I am better than The Rock. Rock said what he does know is that if Cena had beat him, then he would have beaten him. Rock said Cena threw everything at him, but he still kicked out. Rock said there is one more legend to quote, which is what we mentioned before. To be the man, you gotta beat the man, The Rock said. And Rock said Cena can't beat the man because he's not the man. Rock said between the two of them, Cena will never, and The Rock means ever, be the man. This now started getting really good because they were actually really taking some shots at one another.
Yeah, they were.
You know, the first question went really long, the next few went pretty fast and intense. Dusty Rhodes told him, take the gloves off. He said, Mania is about respect, where redemption is about winning and losing. Novel concept. Rhodes said there is no guarantees in this business. Sometimes you don't always get what you want. Sometimes what you want is not always what you get. Dusty asked what they really want on April 7th. Cena said he wants to win the big one, not only win, but dominate The Rock. Cena said at the end of Mania, what he wants is The Rock to be looking up at the air. MetLife Stadium finally realized that this bald cap-wearing punk belongs. Cena said The Rock will always also realize, I am better than The Rock. I am better than The Rock. Because he did it for The Rock. Cena, what he wants is to give The Rock a loss so devastating that it haunts The Rock for the rest of his life. Rock responded by asking Cena who he thinks he's talking to. John, I ain't wired that way, Rock said. Rock said he's going to wake up that morning after Mania still WWE champion while Cena is stuffing his face with Fruity Pebbles, asking why he lost again. Rock said Cena brings it like no one else in the locker room, but Cena can't bring it to him at WrestleMania. Rock told him Cena to prove him all wrong at WrestleMania, or better yet, right now. The two men had a stare down. John Cena did the you can't see me in the face of The Rock, gets him up for the AA. Rock escaped. Rock bottom to John Cena. As Cena rolls around in pain, Rock grabs the title, leaves the ring. As we close. That's a mouthful.
This segment was really, really, really long. You could have cut probably the first 10 minutes out of it and been okay.
Yeah, the first question, Cena went on way too long.
Yeah, it got really good at the end. It got really intense at the end. You probably could have saved The Rock's catchphrases. And this phrase, I mean, we say it every week. The Rock goes out there, he does his shtick, and then he gets serious. I think in this instance, you probably could have cut the catchphrases and still been okay.
But he really didn't go catchphrase heavy, though?
Not too heavy, not this time. But it's like the Rocky Maivia story. You could have cut out. There's a lot of extraneous crap you could have cut out that really didn't need to be there, at least in my opinion. It's like, let's just get to the meat and the bones of this and cut the promo. Because they went really long into overtime.
Yeah, they did. They went a good 15 minutes. It ended like 11:20.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't mind the overrun, but you're sitting there and you're going, okay, you're going 20 minutes into the overrun, because if you think about the segment, it started at 9:50 my time, 11:50, or 10:50, sorry. I can do math. I swear to God, I can do math. It started at 10:50. So if you think about it, they went till 11:20.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
With commercials, they went 30 minutes. So it's like you could have cut
the first 10 minutes and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
That said, this did wonders for the match.
This did wonders for the match. This really helped to sell the match further, at least in my opinion, because you got down to Cena. You're showing Cena's desperation in this.
Yes, and
he has to win this. He has to do this for himself. He's not doing it for the C Nation. He's not doing it for the WWE. He's not doing it for his mama. He's doing it for himself, because in his eyes, he has to do this. He has to beat The Rock to redeem himself. This is now not about him redeeming himself in the eyes of the fans. This is about him redeeming himself in his own eyes.
Yes.
Which I can respect and I can understand, because I can see how in his mind he's had the year from hell.
And he has.
You know, I know a lot of people say, I would kill to have the year John Cena had. It's like, well, if you think about it, he's lost almost every major match he's had, with the exception of a handful. He got divorced, which was a real-life situation. And it was a nasty divorce. It was not a pleasant one. It's just, yeah, it's like you look at Cena's reasons, like, yeah, okay, I can see on a personal level how that would kind of be the year from hell from you, dude, because looking at your other years, yeah, it completely makes sense. So they really did a nice job of taking this from John Cena doing it for everybody to John Cena doing it for himself.
Yes, I would agree totally. And it sold the match. It should sell the match, and when they do their video package, it will be perfect.
Yes.
Because you got all the key phrases in there, and yeah, it was perfect. It went long, yes. Sold the match, very much so.
This is the promo that they needed to cut this week, because next week they probably will not have the time to do something like this, with everybody being there and everything that they have to sell. So this was the good week to do this kind of promo, where you do this long face-to-face stare down between the two, where they have words face-to-face, especially since The Rock has been gone for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So it makes sense that you now have these two meet up face to face, because they didn't have to necessarily do a lot to sell this match, but what they did tonight definitely did enough to help.
Right, and we'll get one more promo exchange between the two next week on Raw to finally sell. We got the physical confrontation, and most likely John Cena will get his next week. This show, though, was 100 times better than last week.
I will agree. This show, it felt long in spots, but it did much better than last week. Should have been more Taker, but that's just me.
Again, he's the big tease.
He is the big tease. Bastard.
We did say we want to put it all on Punk, so.
Normally, let's see. Last time we got him was, what, July? And now we don't get him till beginning of March, end of February, beginning of March, and we only get him for like 10 minutes a week, not counting the Paul Bearer tribute show. Yeah, I need more. Like, I need an hour of him next week to be satisfied.
Lumans put it in the chat room. It doesn't feel like normal Taker. Yes, we talked about this Thursday on the rack. Yeah, it doesn't feel like normal Taker because it hasn't been normal Taker. Tonight was the first time it felt like Taker was actually there.
Yeah, you could tell, it's like, there's a screen cap where Taker's eyes look like they're coming out of his damn head. Because he sold the anger tonight, and he did a really, really nice job of just going after Punk, and kind of taking all those emotions, and giving Punk a little bit of a beating, and a little bit of taste of what he's going to get at Mania. And I actually have to go back and watch that segment, again because I want to see how close those punches were.
Which he will end up doing. Just putting it out there.
It's up on the YouTubes.
It's already up on the YouTubes. How do you think I pulled it?
Okay, well then I will go watch it on the YouTubes.
WWE Fan Nation, thank you very much for the clips tonight on the show. They're awesome. So yeah, what we need is a long sermon by The Undertaker, and hopefully we get it next week.
Please, God. Please.
But with that being said, I think we should wrap up the Raw post show, because that's all we do. We talk about Raw on this show.
Yes. So if you want us to hear, or if you want to hear more talk about wrestling, Rock, what can they listen to, Rock?
They can listen to KFA Wrestling Radio tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the show with Alan Wojcik. He'll be joined by Adam Bomb, along with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern to KFA Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show with the Cheap Wood panel, Scott Barry and the like. They'll recap everything they want to talk about in pro wrestling. Thursday night, Lindsay Ward, it's The Rock, 11 p.m. Eastern.
It is. Tune in and hear us talk all about Impact. News and notes of the week, of course, our awesome discussion questions, which may or may not be good. And, of course, our interview with the one and only Trish Stratus. Tune in. We talked to her for about 25 minutes today. It's amazing. Please come listen. And please stay after the interview for all the stuff we have to talk about afterwards.
Yes, visit RackRadioShow.com. Friday night is the Mace Plays Video Games at 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, Shovelhead, for the compliment. We'll talk about it. He'll play video games Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Subway, and Rob Parks. We talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday, WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace. They'll cover WrestleMania this week. It's the WrestleMania preview show, along with the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Recap. Which, if you're a fan of pro independent wrestling, tune into WildTalkRadio.com around 8:30, 9 p.m. Eastern this Saturday night for some Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. I believe it's called March Mayhem, which will feature Hotshot Johnny Devine in the main event defending his Commonwealth title in a six-man tag team match. So yes, visit CanadianAllPro.com for more on that. You can hear us next Monday night for the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net, and RackRadioShow.com. Lindsay Ward.
Yes, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Lindsay Ward, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, check that out. Also, please go to CassidyRiley.net. Check out his webpage for all your Cassidy Riley needs. He's currently in the process of launching something very big, so stay tuned for that. We'll get more details out for you shortly. And, of course, listen to all the other fine programming on this network. Visit our sponsors. Check out my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com.
PWMania.com, thanks for airing the show. Check out memlanepromo.com for all your autograph needs. We'll be giving stuff away for WrestleMania Pick'em. So stay tuned for the Wild Talk on the Wild Talk Radio Network for details. We'll have details on Wrestle Talk Radio, and we'll have them next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. But for Lindsay Ward, I am Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, and we'll see you Thursday night for the Rack featuring the one, the only WWE Hall of Famer, Trish Stratus, live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com